morning's first reading is from Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live, become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way and owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, I thought those texts about Jesus dividing families and bringing fire to the earth was hard. Just keeps getting harder. But what we have here in today's gospel is Jesus talking to this big crowd of people. And in the Gospel of Luke, there are crowds everywhere. Everywhere Jesus turns, there's a crowd of people. People who were really mesmerized by his teachings, people who were amazed by his miracles, and they just wanted more, more, more of him. We're told in several places that Jesus would go alone to a quiet place to pray, but then the crowds would find him. He couldn't get away from them. In Luke's narrative, like I said, there are just crowds everywhere. And so in our reading this morning, Jesus is speaking to those crowds, those thousands of people who have been following him. And I imagine that this crowd is kind of hopped up on miracles. You know, like if you've ever been to a national youth gathering or a retreat with just really amazing inspirational speakers, someplace where there's crowds of people who are all excited and focused on the same thing, and that energy that you get from that focus and that inspiration is just amplified. It's multiplied by all the people around you who are experiencing the same thing. But Jesus turns to this hopped-up crowd and says to them, this feel-good moment, as wonderful as it is, this is not discipleship. What I'm calling you to after this moment, this is hard work. I'm just guessing here, but with the large numbers, the thousands of people following Jesus, I'm guessing that he probably suspects they don't fully get it. And so we get these really hard words from Jesus, saying that whoever comes to him and does not hate their family and even life itself cannot be his disciple. And that language is intentionally shocking. It's intentionally harsh and extreme, used to emphasize the importance and the intensity of what's being said. But it's also important to understand that in the Jewish tradition, the word for hate can be used in a couple different ways. It can be used the way we generally think about it, like hating your enemy, that type of hostility and animosity. But it can also be used as a contrast, like love this, hate this. Sort of turn towards this and turn away from this. Like love justice, hate wickedness. Which is how Jesus is using the word here. So it's not telling us we need to have intense hostility towards our family or towards life itself, but instead that we need to be willing to turn toward God's kingdom. We need to be willing to turn towards this way of life that Jesus has shown us, even if it turns us away from our family or from the life that we've known. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Luke portrays the priority that the kingdom of God needs to have for us, that kingdom of God here on earth, that vision that Jesus is trying to live out and is inviting us to live out. Luke uses the most extreme terms possible to express the priority that kingdom needs to have in our lives. So this extreme language and this intensity, he uses this to communicate how important the call to discipleship is. It is the most important, more important than anything. And that's what Jesus is conveying to these throngs of thousands of people. He's saying there is a cost to what I'm telling you here. This is not something to be taken lightly. Do you really want to follow? Are you really willing to do this hard thing, this hard work of living a different way, of turning towards God's kingdom, of living out God's kingdom here on earth rather than continuing to live the life you've been living? All those things that you heard and that inspired you, have they changed your life? Have they changed the way you live? For me, in modern terms, what this means is that God has a claim on our entire lives. All of us, every single part, our professional, personal, social, financial, romantic, political, athletic, academic, whatever different parts of your life that there are, all the different things that you do in your life, all those different parts have a claim on them in this call to discipleship. We are called to follow Jesus in all the things that we do and in all the ways that we live out our lives. So we don't go into work and take advantage of people and say, it's just business, thinking that's somehow separate from our call to discipleship. Our discipleship impacts how we do business. Because we are disciples of Jesus in whatever work that we do. And we don't treat our romantic partners with disrespect and then just come and say some extra prayers here on Sunday. We are disciples of Jesus in all of our relationships. We don't make decisions that are in our best interest with no regard of how they impact others, whether that's how we vote, how we shop, how we interact with strangers, because we are called to discipleship in everything that we do, everywhere that we go, and in all our relationships. This is the intensity. This is the all-pervasiveness, top priority nature of discipleship that Jesus is trying to communicate here with this harsh language. And then we have that last statement in our reading, where Jesus says that it's necessary to give up everything. Give up all your possessions. So what does that look like? Well, I talked a few weeks ago about how Jesus really is calling us to own less and give away more. So this is a call to let go of materialism by loosening our grip on the things we own, filling our lives with fewer objects, less stuff, practicing more generosity by giving away more. It's all of that, but more. Because Jesus is saying that those who follow him have to be ready to give up everything, that nothing else can take priority over this. So it's not just our possessions, but also refusing to participate in unkindness or cruelty might mean releasing unhealthy relationships. It means being willing to let go of anything that gets in the way of our following Jesus. Anything that prevents us from living out God's love in our lives. Jesus was not messing around. This is hard stuff. And in this tiny little passage that we read, we only hear Jesus talking about how difficult this is. And we only hear him talking about the high cost. But in the rest of the gospel, and really the rest of scripture, we're also shown what is gained in this way of life. Our Deuteronomy passage reminds us that the path we are called to is difficult, but it's the path of life. It's the path of blessing. God wants what is best for us and has always been striving to show us the way. From Moses and the Ten Commandments to Jesus' call to follow, God's work has always been about leading us into life. A life of joy in our relationships. A life where all people are loved and cared for. A life where we know our worth and our value, and we know that because it is grounded in God's love, it cannot be taken from us. We are led into a life overflowing with God's abundant goodness, overflowing from our lives and into the lives of others, so that the gift of grace and love and abundance that we have been given overflows and overspills out into the world, so that the world may be a better place, so that the kingdom of God is more and more realized. As we live out our lives of discipleship in every aspect, God's kingdom comes. God's kingdom breaks through into our world. When we do business as disciples of Jesus, the kingdom of God breaks into our work world. When we love and care for our families, our partners, our friends, when we love and care for them as disciples of Jesus, then the kingdom of God breaks into those relationships. When we generously give away money to those in need, when we forgive rather than retaliate, when we act with kindness toward people we don't even know, when we speak out and stand up for those who are being mistreated, when we show compassion to someone who is hurting, when we do that hard work of following Jesus with our lives, God's kingdom comes. The world becomes a better place for all people. And we experience God's love and God's joy and God's presence in everything that we do. Thanks be to God. Amen.